Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, back at it again with my amazing co-host, Al McDonald. Al, what are you saying?
Well, of course, I always love Podcast Friday and meeting new people, but today especially because we're talking to someone who shares a bit of a passion of mine, which is cycling, and we had a previous conversation where we shared some of our cycling experiences, so that just adds to the pleasure.
You never know. Maybe there's an opportunity to swap, you know, spandex jerseys, Al. I mean, I know you're going to get all excited.
You never know.
That feels very personal.
Well, let's jump into it because my first chat with this person was so fantastic that I knew we had to do a podcast. And we're thrilled to welcome Sarah Cooper, Chief People Officer at Jobber, to the podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm going to go through your bio a bit because, yeah, you've accomplished a few things in your life. So I just want the audience to realize who we're chatting with. So throughout her career, she's been a trusted strategic advisor in the Canadian tech industry, having worked at notable companies, including Microsoft, FreshBook, and Omer's Ventures. Today, she is the Chief People Officer at Jobber, an advisor to founders and CEOs of early stage and high growth tech companies, and a mentor and coach to their HR professionals. She is also recognized as a top 25 HR innovator in North America by Business Insider and one of the top 50 executives in Canada by Globe and Mail's Report on Business. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for the invite.
Well, Sarah, I want to jump into it.
Sure.
And I think where I would like to start with this is, as a tech industry veteran and now a chief people officer as well, mm-hmm. I think you've likely seen changes in how companies are approaching people and culture. What are some of those shifts that you've noticed and how has your company, Jobber, adapted to these changes?
For sure. Yeah, I think if you're working in tech for any stretch of time, you've probably seen the pendulum swing back and forth a million times on different approaches for everything business, not just people. For me, I always try to think about, yes, the approaches may be shifting, but is that something that's suitable for the company that I'm in or the team that I'm supporting? So with that being said, I think two of the biggest changes that have come about are really that kind of command and control type of leadership to a more supportive servant-like leadership. Those approaches are drastically different and they tend to get different kind of performance out of employees as well. And then the other big shift was, of course, you know, a few years ago when those of us who are privileged enough to be able to work from home, everybody moved home during the start of the pandemic. And that was a huge shift, especially for folks who had historically always been going into the office for work, which was absolutely Jobber. We were an in-office company until the pandemic hit.
And what does Jobber look like today?
So today we are vastly different. So I actually joined Jobber 6 years ago this month in March, and we were 150 people when I joined. We are just over 950 people now.
Oh, just a bit of growth.
Just a touch, you know.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And as I mentioned, before the pandemic hit, we were completely in office. So we had two offices, Edmonton and Toronto. If you wanted to work at Jobber, you lived in one of those cities and you were in the office every single day. So we shut down both of our offices in one day. Everybody went home. And we became a remote company, much like a lot of other companies did. One of the things we very quickly learned was just communication trumps everything else. And we can probably dive in on that a little bit later. But now, 5 years-ish later, we are hybrid. So hybrid for us doesn't mean certain days in the office or anything like that. It means that you run your schedule. So we have now offices, it's still in Toronto and Edmonton, but also now in Vancouver. And folks are welcome to come in as often or as little as they like. So you can literally live around the corner from a job or office and not step foot in the building if that's what you want to do, if that's how you work best. That being said, we love to see people in the office. I myself am more of an in-office person. I'm usually in 3 or 4 days a week, but that's not how everybody works best. And so we really try to think about what are we trying to accomplish with how we set up our offices? What are we trying to accomplish with how we approach where people work? And that's how we really settled on kind of this style of work for Jabba right now.
We're in the office 3 days a week. So we bookend. So Mondays and Fridays, we're home, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, just to play devil's advocate, I'll throw this back to you, because one of the benefits that I've seen of coming back into the office, we're hiring a lot of younger people. So who don't necessarily have all the experience in the industry, but then there's the older people in the office who have a ton of experience. And I think, just my view, but I think you lose a little bit when you aren't having those natural collisions anymore. So what would you say to that challenge about, hey, I'm not going to run into that person in the kitchen when they're getting a coffee, especially my office, because it's right outside. I get to run into everybody because I'm right near the coffee section. But in all seriousness, how do you make up for those natural collisions that would happen in the office if that person is never showing up?
Yeah, it's not easy is the short answer. It's the very glib answer. We absolutely, like a large portion of our employee base in our sales and success teams, we are their first job out of school. And so I often use the phrase, they don't know how to job yet. You know, the professional norms, the things that you just kind of learn from, to your point, being around folks in the office. We try to address it in different ways. And whether that's an early career person or a later career person, we try to be very, very intentional with our connection points. So we do have a ton of like in-office stuff that happens, but our employee experience team also focuses a lot on the remote experience. So we have a lot of different ways that people can connect virtually, whether that's through events or, you know, lunch and learns. Or one of the things that actually our learning and development leader is working on is a little bit of a mentorship program. So actually bringing those more senior employees together with earlier career folks to try to build some of those connections that they're not getting from the water cooler. We try to play a lot with different ideas to see what works. We've also talked about, is there a world where, you know, the first month or whatever the time frame is that you're at Jobber, you actually are in the office. And so what that might mean is us having to actually relocate people for a short period of time, which is always the stumbling block because people obviously have different things that they couldn't have to do in their lives, but actually having folks in the office so they can build that foundation of getting to know folks and getting to know the culture and all of that kind of stuff that I think is harder to replicate in a virtual world.
Sarah, I want to dive into maybe a little bit about some of the challenges you've faced in terms of the growth at the company. But before I do that, I would love to go back to something that you said previously. You talked about the pendulum swinging and the culture changes and that type of thing that we all know, you know, in the office, all hybrid, all that type of thing.
Yeah.
But I wonder if there are some things that you've seen that just haven't changed. You know, some of those underlying principles that despite all the stuff up here that is changing, there's still some things that just are, have been, and maybe will continue to be.
I like to think, regardless of the approach that the majority of companies take, and I think what works for company A isn't going to necessarily work for company B for a variety of reasons, but I like to think that at the base of all of those different approaches is ultimately a respect for the employee and an understanding that it's a give and take relationship. And I do think over the past few years, we've seen this swing of, again, more of like command and control to almost more employee led for a while. And now there's a certain kind of push, I think, back to a little bit more command and control or a little bit more demanding on the employer side. And I would love to see us just kind of end up in the middle and understand it's not about one group having power over the other group. That never works. It doesn't work in relationships in life, and it doesn't work in employment relationships. There has to be respect and give and take on both sides. And so I hope that that is not going to change, because I think we actually came a long way with that in the past few years. And I would love to see that maintain and just kind of, again, just kind of center itself out a little bit.
Yeah, that's great. It makes a lot of sense. I'm glad I asked the question, and that was a great answer. So maybe you can talk now a little bit about some of the challenges that you've encountered because the company has grown so quickly and how you've helped the team navigate those challenges.
Yeah, I think the biggest one is a little bit of what I alluded to earlier with communication. It is, I think, Robin, you are also touching on this a bit. It is really easy to communicate when everyone's in the office and it's a smaller company, right? You hear things, you talk to people. It's very, very natural. And so we have the double whammy of going remote and then being hybrid and growing as significantly as we did. So all of a sudden, all this stuff that everybody just kind of naturally knew, it was not natural anymore. And so we really struggled with just a host of different communication issues, to be honest. And it's not just who needs to know what, but it's also how do we stay aligned across the company on what are the most important things we should be focused on right now. So myself and some of the other leadership team members and the people team members really had to sit down and think about, okay, what is going to be our communication cadence? And how are we going to think about very deliberate communication from now on? I think that's an ever-changing work in progress, to be honest. Like Sam, who is our CEO, loves to say that everything breaks every time you double in size. So you have to rethink all of your processes and all of the programs and everything you've done because they just don't last. So we've actually changed it up a couple of times over the past few years. And every time, you know, you just learn a little bit more. And I think the other piece to that outside of communication is just exactly the thing I was just mentioning, which is like, be okay with things breaking. Know that nothing is forever. You're going to have to change. And so, yes, we used to do it this way, but does it still make sense to do it this way now? And I think the greatest gift that a new employee can give to a company is coming in and saying, but why do we do it this way? Because it often makes you just kind of stop and think like, oh, because we always have. If that's the answer, it's the wrong answer and you need to change things up.
I'm really glad that you finished with that last part because, and it sounds like you do have a lot of new people and
yeah.
When new people do come in and like you said before, you know, they aren't, what was the phrase that you used? I'm going to say job ready, but that wasn't the phrase you used.
Oh, early career.
Early career, but you said they're...
Well, they don't know how to job.
That's it.
That was it. They don't know how to job. Yes.
Yeah.
But in a way, you know, they've kind of got their own ideas.
Yeah.
And like you just said, like maybe they're not wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one of my favorite phrases is good ideas come from everywhere. Right? You don't have to be at any level or in any team in the organization to have a great idea. You just have to elevate it. And so we always encourage people, if you have an idea, go to somebody, whether it's your manager or your director, or your senior leadership team member. If it's me, I don't care, but I want to hear about them. And we are a very feedback oriented culture in that way.
Sherry, you also said something that I think is incredibly important. And I think what a lot of people get wrong, actually, and I see it in my world, in the benefits world.
Yeah.
Hey, we launched this new program. Maybe we change carriers. Now we're going to this and we've added something and let's communicate it. Let's get some bang for our buck. And most brokers I know will say, let's do an employee meeting.
Yeah.
And then it stops.
Yes.
So I think what you said, that cadence, coming up with that plan that says this is the cadence, whether it's for benefits, whether it's for building culture in your company, you have to establish that cadence. Because I've told this story on so many discovery calls, when I used to actually walk into companies and I get tours and I got to talk to employees and I'd walk into companies that have, you know, average plans on the benefit side, but really, really good corporate culture. And then I'd walk into a different company who, you know, had the same type of plan, but it was terrible corporate culture.
Yes.
And then years and years and years of doing this, I discerned it was communication that made the difference. The companies that made a point of communicating, being open, sharing the wins and the losses and the results of those and any benefit plan enhancements, those built amazing corporate cultures.
Yeah.
And the employees that really, really enjoyed that. Where I'd love to go next is in terms of, I think you're in a unique position. You've had this massive growth in this company. You're directly involved in having a great impact on culture in the company. What does success look like to you? And maybe that's success now or 3 years down the road. I'd love to hear your definition of what that looks like.
For me, it's, is the company thriving and are the people thriving? I mean, that's really what it comes down to for my role, right? And I think everybody's going to say something a little bit different. But success for me is exactly that. I always think about the people strategy having to drive the business strategy. So if myself and my team members are creating the right goals for the organization based on what our business goals are, our revenue goals, and all of the rest of it, then we are going to have a very successful company. And I think people are happiest at work when they are successful. I think there are very few people in this world who wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to do a crap job today. You know, most people want to go to work and like contribute and be successful and feel that energy that you get from being around your coworkers who are also accomplishing great things. And for us, we're trying to build an environment where everybody feels that they can do that together. We win as a team and we lose as a team. And that's, I think, probably the ultimate marker of success for me is that every single person at Jobber is feeling that way.
One of the great things, again, didn't anticipate so much when we started the podcast, and especially this series, Success Leaves Clues, but it's when I have these conversations with people like yourself, we are not a 900 life company. We are not even a 100 life company. We are about, what are we, Yael? 15, 17, somewhere in that range. Anyway, depending on the day, I guess. But it's nice to hear when I get to chat with someone like yourself, hey, we're doing some of those things.
Yeah.
And then I also get to hear, oh, we haven't thought of that one. Right. So I'm hoping that's what the audience gets out of it too. And hence the name Success Leaves Clues.
Yep.
Finding successful people like yourself who are doing a lot of things right, and then teasing out those things that other people can go and implement. So I think a lot of people get a lot of value out of this episode.
That's great. I thank you so much.
Thanks, Robin. That was a perfect lead into where I wanted to go with my next question.
I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah, thank you.
I think you two have done this before.
Just a few times, yeah.
Maybe once or twice. So, Sarah, I would love to hear, you've been in the industry for a while. What advice would you give to aspiring leaders looking to make an impact on both people, operations, and tech?
So, a couple things. One of the biggest things I learned early in my career, and I will give a shout out to Warren, who is or used to be the CTO at FreshBooks. I joined FreshBooks as a senior recruiter. So quite early in my career, I grew up on the recruiting side of things. And I remember wanting to go in and make a splash and like make a name for myself. And I went in and I redesigned the entire product manager interview process, like start to finish all by myself, just made it like literally completely different. And I met with Warren and I walked him through it and he sat back and he was like, who on my team did you work with on this? And that was like the first and only question. I was like, oh, shoot. And so, and then, you know, he gave me some gentle feedback around like, hey, this needs to be a partnership. And I think that was kind of a light bulb moment for me. And I've taken that through the rest of my career. I think people or HR or whatever you want to call it often gets the reputation of building things in a silo over here somewhere without really understanding the business or being part of the business. And that is the biggest piece of advice I can give anybody in the people realm is you need to understand the business. You need to partner with the business. I often say that people isn't a partner to the business. They are the business. Doesn't matter how good your business strategy is. If you don't have the people programs and the people to execute on that strategy, you're going to fail as a business. So it's so, so important that the people team or the people organization is walking in lockstep with the rest of the business and truly, truly working alongside them to do anything on the people side of things.
So then, Sarah, I guess I maybe have a little bit of a follow-up to that, because I'm going to imagine that there are times maybe that you've come across it, or maybe people with other companies, where what you just said may get some pushback, that the people side of things maybe isn't considered as important as, you know, hitting the revenue goals or getting a product out on time or whatever the case may be. So what advice would you have around that to maybe someone who wants to do exactly what you just said, but they've got some pushback?
Yeah, I think you have to prove it, right? It's like anything else in life. So when I talk about the people programs or the people strategy driving our business strategy, we go right down to, okay, if this is what our hiring plan is going to look like for the next 1 or 2 years, what are the skill sets we're going to need? What are the markets we're going to need to go into? What do those markets look like? So this is not about only providing employee-based programs like benefits and all that. That stuff's all important. That's table stakes. And you're right. Probably the business is generally going to be like, I don't have a lot of time to spend on this. But if you come to the table and you come to those meetings with a ton of information on how they are going to be able to deliver on their KPI, they will absolutely listen to you every time. It's in their best interest too. But you have to be able to be prepared to bring all of that data with you. Data kills everything. Data kills all objections is what I've learned over the years.
We're going to get to my favorite part of the podcast, which is Al's signature question. But before we do, I would love to ask you, I've only asked a few people this and I love hearing the answer.
Where?
Crap hits the fan this week, let's say. Well, it's Friday. This week's over. But next Wednesday, crap hits the fan.
Yeah.
Who's your go-to?
Hmm. At work or personally?
Oh, you can answer any way you want.
Well, I'm going to put a lot of pressure on whoever I say. You know what? I will say when crap hits the fan, I have two amazing leaders on my team, actually three amazing leaders on my team. Two are directors, one is a senior manager, and they are absolutely, they are my rocks. We would not have the people team at Jobber that we have without them. I will call them out because, I mean, hopefully nobody's listening to this and tries to recruit them, but it's Stephanie, Tara, and Raquel. They are three amazing, ambitious, talented career women that I don't know what I would do without, quite honestly. And so when it hits the fan, we buckle down and we pull through it together. And it's good to know that I have that team with me.
It's so important to have those people. I have those people at work. I have those people at home.
Yeah.
Al will often get a text or a phone call, or I will take over our huddle in the morning with stuff. And I think it's important to have those people because sometimes when you're in the moment, you can't see around the corner.
Yeah.
And other people, because they're not living your experience, they're able to sit back and from an outside look, say, oh, have you thought about this? Or here's an approach, or I can get involved and help you. I ask that question because I think it's really important to have those people around you. And if you don't, my advice would just try to find those people.
Absolutely.
They're around. If you ask for help, and I've learned this on LinkedIn, the community that's built, I've asked for help on a couple of things. People, like you said early in the podcast, people don't show up wanting to say, I want to do a crap job today.
Exactly.
People don't go out when you ask for help to say, there's no way I would help that person. Most people feel really good about helping people. So it shouldn't be that hard to find those people.
I 100% agree. And I think there's just something, sometimes you get to a certain either stage in your career or a point in your life where sometimes things can get a little lonely. You know, you don't feel like you necessarily have those people you can confide in. And so when you do find them, I think it's so important to really fully appreciate that you have it and make sure that they know it too. So
well said.
Yeah.
All right, Al, take it away. Signature question time.
I feel so much pressure right now.
Are you up for this, Sarah? Are you good to go? All right. Wonderful. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you talk about any of those proverbial trees that you might be planting? It could be professionally, it could be personally, whatever you like.
Yeah, I think probably the biggest thing for me is coaching. You know, Robin mentioned it in the little bio you very kindly put together at the beginning. So I coach and I mentor HR folks who are earlier in their career. I've had some folks who, for whatever reason, decided it was me they wanted to reach out to. And I always try to give my time where I can. And my only ask for them is that they pass it on too. So what I'm hoping is that I think the Toronto tech scene especially, but even the Canadian tech scene is still quite small in a lot of ways, especially compared to our friends in the US. And so when we think about how small the tech scene is, the HR community is even smaller, but it's actually super helpful with each other. There are a lot of great tools out there for folks to connect on. And what I'm hoping is that if myself and other HR leaders who are a little further along in our careers are coaching and mentoring that younger generation and asking them to pass it on, then we'll just kind of have this reciprocal thing continue for however long it continues for. But I think we all get better because of it.
Pay it forward.
Pay it forward. Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for that, sir.
Good message. Yeah. Well, based on our first call, this was even better than our first call. So it keeps getting better. I can't wait till our next conversation.
Absolutely.
For listeners who are interested in learning more about what you're doing or Jobber or your coaching, what's the best way for people to reach out?
LinkedIn absolutely is the best way, or through Jobber. My email address is on my LinkedIn, so I'm easy to find.
Perfect. Well, that does it for another episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. As always, we hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. We've seen it here again. Success leaves clues. We'll see you next time.